I knew it. Too much time lapse between the instruction. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Let the record show that it is 10 o'clock a.m. on March 1st, 2010, and we're present in the commission hearing room located in the state capitol in Bismarck, North Dakota, for the hearing in the matter of an application from Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railway Company to review two private railroad crossings near Manville, North Dakota, to determine whether audible devices warning of a train's approach will be sounded at these crossings. This is case number RR-10-27. On January 28, 2010, the Office of Administrative Hearings received a request from the Public Service Commission to provide an administrative law judge to preside in this matter. My name is Bonnie M. Fetch, and I am the duly designated administrative law judge. At this time, I'm going to introduce members of the Public Service Commission. In the center is Commissioner Chairman Kevin Kramer. And off to my left, Commissioner Tony Clark. And then off to Commissioner Kramer's left, Commissioner Brian Kalk. At this time, I'm going to ask the parties to state their appearance for the record. Will counsel for the applicant, Stephen Plambeck, state your appearance and who is present with you and who will be testifying for Burlington Northern.
Thank you. My name is Stephen Plambeck. I'm with the Nillis Law Firm in Fargo. I represent BNSF Railway Company. I have with me today Lynn Liebfried, who is a registered professional engineer and the manager of public projects for BNSF Railway. We have already submitted an affidavit from Ms. Liebfried containing photographs and two exhibits. I do want to make one correction to the affidavit, specifically to Exhibit 2. The very last photograph in that set shows three railroad workers and some signalized tracks. This is not the Manville area. This photograph was inadvertently attached to Exhibit 2, and it should be deleted from the exhibits, or at least disregarded. It does not show Manville. We do want to thank the commission for taking the time to review these two private crossings to determine whether or not, as a matter of public safety, a whistle should be sounding to warn of a train's approach. At this time, we do not contemplate asking Ms. Liebfried to testify further unless the commission has some specific questions. We think the information in the affidavit is probably self-explanatory with the photographs as to what the concerns were that prompted us to present these two crossings to the commission for review.
Okay. Ms. Bendish, counsel for the commission, will the commission be presenting a case in this matter?
No, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. For members of the public who are present, this public hearing is your opportunity to give the commission your views. The commissioners are here to listen, and they are interested in what you have to say. At this time, I'm just going to ask, raise your hand if you are a member of the public and you are going to be presenting testimony in favor or as a proponent of the request. Okay. Is there anyone present who wishes to present testimony in opposition to the request? Okay. Two people. All right. When I instruct you that it's time to give testimony from members of the public, I ask that you come up to the podium to the left of Commissioner Kalk and state your name and who you represent. At that time, I will administer the oath and swear you in and take your testimony. Following that, there may be questions for anyone who testifies from commission counsel, BNSF Council, or the commissioners. The application, a summary of the application was set forth in the January 27th, 2010 notice of hearing. On January 12th, BNSF Railway filed an application requesting the commission to review two private railroad crossings near Manville, North Dakota, and asked the commission to issue an order determining whether audible devices warning of a train's approach will be sounded at these crossings under North Dakota Century Code Section 49-11-21. This is a public hearing on BNSF's application. The issues that the commission will be considering are specified in the notice of hearing, whether the railroad should sound a warning device at private crossing, DOT number 062517W near Manville, based on the safety concerns of the public, and whether the railroad should sound a warning device at private crossing, DOT number 062518D near Manville, based on safety concerns of the public. We'll go on to the hearing procedure in just a moment, but at this time I'm going to ask whether the commissioners have any opening comments, beginning with Commissioner Tony Clark, who has this portfolio.
Thank you, Judge. Just good morning and welcome. Thanks to everyone who's here this morning. I suspect that there may be a few more folks here this afternoon, but nonetheless, we think all of these crossing issues are important and serious, and so we appreciate those of you who are here today who wish to provide any information that you do with regard to the Manville crossings. I think that that those who are here and interested in testifying have been here before, so I don't know that we need lots of introductory comments, but welcome again, and look forward to a good hearing.
Thank you. Chairman Kramer?
Thank you, Judge. Just good morning to everyone. Welcome, and we look forward to a thorough hearing.
Thank you. Commissioner Hall?
Just thank the PSC staff for putting this together, as well as all of you for coming, the work that you put into this, because I know it takes a lot of hours to put stuff like this together, so thanks.
Thank you. All right. The applicant has already made a brief opening statement. And Mr. Plambeck, you indicated that you are not going to be calling on Ms. Liebfried for testimony in addition to the affidavit that's presented. I would ask whether at this time then you wish to have the exhibits admitted that you provided to the commission.
Yes, at this time we would offer exhibits 1 and 2 attached to the affidavit, with the exception of that last photograph that is not of the Manville crossing.
All right. Exhibit, let's see.
Exhibit 1 relates to DOT crossing number 062517W, and Exhibit 2 are the photographs that relate to DOT crossing number 062518D.
Okay. Ms. Bendish, do you have a copy of Exhibits 1 and 2?
Yes, I do, Your Honor, and I have no objection to Exhibits 1 and 2.
Okay. I'm looking for whether these are marked. Did you pre-mark these? Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a cover sheet for each set.
Okay.
Attached to the affidavit, you'll find Exhibit 1, or a single white sheet summarizing, saying Exhibit 1, private crossing, DOT pound sign, or number 062517W.
All right, I'm wondering whether the letter, the January 12th letter, should also be admitted as an exhibit. Ms. Bendish?
I have no objection, and I think that would be fine.
All right. The January 12th letter from Stephen Plambeck. And the affidavit of Lynn Liebfried. All right. Any objections to either of those?
No, Your Honor.
All right. I'm not going to relabel Exhibits 1 and 2. I'll leave those as is. The January 12th letter I will label as Exhibit 3, and then the affidavit of Ms. Liebfried as Exhibit 4, and admit those into the record. Ms. Bendish, do you have any questions for Ms. Liebfried or about any of these exhibits?
No, Your Honor.
Do commissioners have any questions? Commissioner Clark? If you do, then I need to place Ms. Is it Liebfried under oath? Mm-hmm.
Why don't I do that,
and then if there are any questions, Ms. Liebfried, you can stay where you are. All witness testimony at this hearing is taken under oath and is subject to penalties for perjury. By law, I am required to instruct witnesses as to those penalties. Perjury in the state of North Dakota is a Class C felony. It's punishable by a maximum fine of $5,000, a maximum 5 years in prison, or both. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury? If so, answer, I do. Thank you.
You know, I do have just a few.
Go ahead.
Okay, great. On the first crossing, which is... under Exhibit 1, DOT 062517W. My assumption is the reason that this one is here is primarily because of the curvature in the track looking to, I guess I don't know exactly which direction it is, but looks like it's the last exhibit. Is that the most typical example of why this would...
I would say the last photo is probably the best, and maybe the one before it. You can also see that tree line there.
Sure, although that's a fairly straight track going that direction. I mean, it...
Sure, yeah. Although the approach from the vehicle...
Oh, I see.
A tree line there.
Sure, if you're crossing from the opposite side.
Right.
And this is a private crossing, I guess. We're not looking to determine that. But it does look like it serves more than one home. Is that correct? I mean, it looks like it empties right into one homestead, but then it also looks like it goes off in another direction to the left. There may be some other homes on that side. Is that correct?
I'm not sure how many residents are back there, to be honest with you.
Okay. On the second crossing, if I recall correctly, that appeared to be mostly a tree line issue, right? It was
right.
You just have a windrow that's very close to the approach and runs for some. Well, it looks like there's pretty significant curvature in the track at that point too. Is that correct?
Right. It's very similar to the first one. The same issues that. Track curves, and then on both approaches, coming from either direction, there appears to be a line of trees. The second to the last and last photos, again, are probably the best photos for you to see.
Sure. In relationship to Manville, where are these exactly?
I'm not sure if they're probably either just north or just south of town. Usually they're only a couple miles away at most.
They're close to each other, though, is that?
Right, yeah. Correct. I believe these are, they might even be two consecutive because the way that they're numbered, they appear to be two consecutive crossings.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Kramer, any questions?
I do. The criteria used to determine that they're private, does that have to do with the public lack of public maintenance of the crossing?
It to do with who owns the land on both sides of the tracks.
Have you received any feedback from the people who do own the, or the residents of?
From these people in particular,
right.
No. I don't even know that they know we're here today.
Okay. All right. I have nothing further.
Thank you. Commissioner Kolk?
Just to verify one thing, also the elevation change was another area of concern for both tracks, correct?
Right.
Okay. Because it looks like there's quite a, you can't, if you're parked here, you can't see the other side.
Quite a bit higher than the approach roads on both sides. Right?
Sure. Okay. That's it for me, Judge.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Liebfried?
No, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you. Then at this time, we'll take testimony from members of the public. State your name, please, and who you represent.
My name is Mark Halverson. I represent the United Transportation Union.
Mr. Halverson, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is Mark Halverson. I represent approximately 1,000 active and retired members of the United Transportation Union in the state of North Dakota. I handle legislative matters concerning our union, and I investigated these two crossings that were on the notice, crossing 13.02 and 13.19 at Manville, North Dakota. It's located on the Gladstone subdivision. I had the opportunity to talk to a couple of adjacent property owners, landowners, in regards to the two affected crossings. And I wrote some notes down in regards to the first crossing at 13.02. By the way, both crossings are just directly north of Manville, and their subsequent crossings, 13.02, and then, of course, the next one would be 13.19. I talked to Keith Borgeson. He owns the property right across the right of way at 13.02. That would be Exhibit 1. The house, the very first photograph on Exhibit 1. That would be Keith Borgeson. I talked to him about the law in regards to whistle posts. I also requested that if he could give me some information in regards to this particular crossing and the horn for input into the Public Service Commission. And I had a letter typed up, and I can read it for the record. It's I wanted some information to the Public Service Commission for input from adjacent property owners or landowners. So it's dated February 23rd, 2010, State of North Dakota Public Service Commission. The address, dear commissioners. And it states in part, as an adjacent property owner and landowner, I request the whistle post be removed for the private crossing at milepost 13.02, DOT number 062517W, which is located near Manville, North Dakota, on line segment 250. And it's signed by Keith Borgeson. He was pleased that we were contemplating pulling the whistle post down in that particular crossing for the simple fact, he said, it just simply keeps him awake during the night and so forth. So, but I've got 7 copies of this letter. Could I present this to the to you, Your Honor.
Any objections?
Well, I think there's foundation and hearsay objections, but, you know.
Mr. Plambeck, is that an objection?
Yes.
I have no objection, Your Honor.
Ms. Bendish, you have no objection?
I would have a question. What is the protocol for me to object at some point? Because the question that I have, the attorney, though, is that we don't, this is not a notary at all, correct?
It's not notarized, you mean?
Yeah, that's the only thing I have, is that I don't doubt what the witness is saying, but I have no way of knowing that person is, who is that person's signature.
That's the foundation objection that Mr. Plambeck is making. Let's go back. Ms. Bendish, is it the practice of the commission to waive the rules of evidence at these public hearings?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's the practice to waive the rules of evidence. Generally, I think my role as commission advisor is to allow public comment, and that is perhaps why I didn't wear my litigator hat as much as I would have liked to and agree with Mr. Plambeck's objections.
Your Honor, if I might, the practice has been to, if not waive, at least
loosely interpret
the evidence, and then with the understanding that the commission is capable of giving appropriate weight to things that may or may not be evidence.
Treat it as public input, right, as opposed to an exhibit or you know, something that's okay, actually in the record, which, I mean, there are occasions in which it's been denied on the basis of rules of evidence. But if it's treated for what it's worth, which is public input, then we can.
So my understanding is that the commission does not wish to blanket waive the rules of evidence at applying to this hearing. Mm-hmm. However, allowing public input, and then the commission will review or consider that and give it whatever weight the commission feels it should give it when the commission makes its decision. Meaning, it could give those letters and your testimony about talking with this landowner no weight at all, some weight, you know, a great amount of weight. In other words, we'll leave that to the discretion of the commission. So that's what we'll apply, and based on what the commission has said, we'll allow the input. Objection is, in effect, overruled. Thank you.
I'll submit this at the end of the testimony. Is that fine with you, Your Honor?
You can, yes. You can. How many letters do you have?
I just have the one letter, but I've got 7 copies.
That's fine. You can leave. Make sure you give a copy to me for the record.
Sure. Okay, thank you. The the crossing at 13.02 on Exhibit 1, I wrote down unlimited site window south to north, north to south, limited site window count of trees on BNSF right-of-way. I measured the trees from the center of the rail, and they're approximately 45 feet. The right-of-way on BNSF property at those two particular locations, it's 100 feet. So there is an unsafe condition, and it begs the question why BNSF is here regarding the safety concerns of the public when we have an unsafe condition on their property, an obstruction of trees on the right-of-way. The maximum authorized speed for that track is 25 mph, 25 miles per hour. The crossing at 13.19 is owned by Dave Kinney. The residence is not occupied. That would be Exhibit 2 that I'm referencing. the reference, the residence is not occupied. Residence was burned down in 2001. Limited sight window in both directions due to trees on BNSF right away. Again, the trees are approximately 45 feet from the center of the rail, and it's on BNSF right away. BNSF has 100 foot of right away on that particular crossing as well. The I'd like to reference also the FRA regulation in regards to the blowing of the horn on private crossings. Much has been said about 49-11-21, which was amended by House Bill 1342, where it states that the warning device may not be sounded at a private railroad crossing. The federal statute is similar to our state law, FRA Statute 222.25. States this rule does not require the routine sounding of locomotive horns at private highway rail grade crossings. It goes on to say, however, when state law requires the sounding of locomotive horn at private highway rail grade crossings, the locomotive horn shall be sounded in accordance with 222.21 of this part. We don't have a state law in effect that requires the blowing of the locomotive horn at private crossing. We do have a law in effect that's been in effect since December 31st, 2009, which states that the warning device may not be sounded at private railroad crossings. So we have a tremendous number of private crossings that are still not in compliance with federal and state law. And I would hope that the Public Service Commission would address this and resolve the issue as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Plambeck, any questions for Mr. Halverson?
I do. Did you ask Mr. Borgeson if those trees were serving any purpose, that he wanted to keep those trees in place?
Well, he did make the comment he liked the trees.
Are they operating as a shelter belt at that area?
No, they're not a shelter belt. They're on BNSF right away.
But are they operating in effect as a shelter belt at that area?
I guess I can't answer that.
Do you know if he would prefer to have the trees there because of the view that they provide versus what would the view would be without the trees?
I guess that's a question you'd have to ask Mr. Borgeson.
Do you know if the trees operate in effect as kind of a sound barrier for a rumbling train going by to help keep the sound down?
I would assume so, yes.
You talked about the 25-mile-per-hour speed limit. Do you know what the federal statistics show as to the rate or frequency of accidents involving trains moving at slower speeds?
No, I do not.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Plambeck. Ms. Bendish, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
I'll ask the commissioners. Do you have any questions for Mr. Halverson? Commissioner Clark?
Do you have a sense for how many trains pass by this area? I mean, it's a fairly used track?
It's a branch line.
Okay.
I would... approximately 10 trains a week. I checked with my legislative rep this morning and just asked him for some information regarding the traffic flow on that particular subdivision, and he stated to the effect approximately 10 trains per week.
Primarily servicing elevators up the line. Is there any rhyme or reason to the time of day that they come through?
24/7.
Okay. That's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Chairman Kramer?
Just for clarification, I mean, your position is that you don't think the whistle should be blown. Is that your position?
That's correct. No. Under state law and federal law, which it mirrors the federal law.
But your statement then about an unsafe situation, is that a statement relating to the trees and suggesting they should be removed, or that the trees create an unsafe situation currently?
It's an unsafe condition, and it should be removed, which would eliminate an unsafe condition and improve the condition dramatically at those crossings.
I have nothing.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Kalk?
No, nothing at all.
All right, thank you, Mr. Halverson. I believe we have another person who wants to testify. State your name, please.
My name is Ronald Huff.
And who do you represent?
I represent the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
When we came to the last meeting, that was our very first one, so it was a very much a learning experience. And again, this is a learning experience because the letter that Mr. Halverson has presented to you, when I called up here to find out what we needed to do to qualify to get some of this information in, we were told we could get a letter. I specifically asked if it needed to be notarized, this kind of thing. The answer was no. So we didn't, okay? And maybe that's our fault or whatever. But just that point of clarification is the only thing I'd like to make there. But as far as the trees, now, isn't it kind of something that the BNSF is setting up here saying, you know, we have an unsafe condition here with these trees as far as site on this crossing, but yet we're not going to do nothing about that. You know, they own the trees. They control the trees. They can cut those trees down if they wish, but they wish not to. They choose not to. So they are, in effect, making the condition more unsafe. So if safety is their real concern, why don't they do something about it? You know, that's one of the questions that I think that should be asked. And the speed of the trains, 25 miles an hour. And also, what's the size of the trains? You know, we look at, you know, sometimes we're out here, we see these long coal trains, 123-car coal trains. But we forget about the branch lines with the little trains. You know, the feeder lines, those trains that come off of there. What is the average? This is something that you might want to consider, is what's the average size of that train? Because that makes a real huge difference in the braking distance and this sort of thing. And it was stated that there's about 10 trains a week that go through there at all hours of the day or night. So there is no routine there. So it is really a disturbance to the individual living on that other side. And on that second crossing, I believe it is, they have a picture of the house sitting over there. The house is burned down. The one house that crossing services is burned down. You know, so what, you know, they do have some outbuildings there. It's evident in the photograph. But so what purpose are we serving to to sound that horn other than disturbing the person that lives a little farther down the track. Yeah. I think that's some of the things that some of the questions that I would like to hear the answer to. I don't know if you fellows and share that same idea or not, but so that and the pointing out of the crossings, the regulations governing the crossings, I think it's important that we take a real serious look at that, because if North Dakota law does not it does not require us to sound the whistle at a private crossing. There's no requirement for doing that. In fact, it's just the opposite. It requires us not to sound the whistle, you know, unless there is a real safety concern. And I'm going to take an exception, personal exception here, if I may, is that when we come in here and we hear about the crossings and sounding whistles and things like that, it's almost, I get the feeling that the BNSF is almost putting it on us to say, you know, when we get called to go to work, the first thing that goes through our mind is when we answer that phone is, geez, today I get to go out and hit somebody at a crossing. You know, that's not true. That's the farthest thing from the truth. But yet, you know, I personally feel that way because of this issue. And to think that if we see a car approaching a crossing that we're not going to sound the whistle, that's absurd. That is really absurd. Yeah. And so thank you for letting me vent that, you know. All right. But that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Plambeck, any questions for Mr. Hoff?
No questions.
All right. Ms. Bandish, any questions?
No, Your Honor.
Commissioner Clark, do you have any questions?
Maybe not so much a question, just a comment on the sort of on how we're all learning about this. And I think we all are sort of learning about this process, because this is the first time that the commission has done it as well. So in just thinking forward to future cases, while the notarization, you know, may be helpful just from a point of foundation that we know that it's actually that person who signed it. Really, the most helpful thing in those situations might actually be having the person here, in person. Maybe that wasn't available this time and couldn't be made happen, because it does then give the commission an opportunity to ask questions, which can be helpful in just giving us a more rounded, knowledge of what the person thinks. For example, in this case, the issue of the trees and what value the person places on the trees and things like that might be helpful to follow up on. But anyway, so just a comment for future cases as well, and understanding that you
okay.
you don't control what landowners do or whether they want to be here.
I certainly can't control their schedule. Heck, yeah. I can't even control my own work schedule. But but a question then arises to me is, if you want that information and you want to speak to that landowner, does the commission have any onus in this as far as maybe sending them a letter requesting that and having that dialogue directly with that landowner? Because, see, for us, the working people out here on the railroad, and I'm not – that didn't come out right, but the guys, the grunt workers out here, so to speak, we don't have the wherewithal to find out who the landowners are at every crossing. We don't have the wherewithal to go investigate that. Where with the commission, and I'm assuming you have a good working relationship with the DOT, they have that kind of information. That information is available to you. So, and I agree with you that it's important to get that feedback from the landowner, but is there any onus that the Sure. commission should or wants to take?
Yeah, and we've thought about this some and had discussed it at a work session that we've had. If there's a tweak to be made in the law, I think it's this, that the applicant, which would be the railroad, there may be some necessity to, I think, have some sort of notice at least provided directly to a private landowner whose crossing is affected. And that, typically in any sort of application, much like, I'm sure the locomotive operators feel that the commission itself doesn't know every single person who, would need to be contacted. And so typically in anything that the commission does, whether it's a wind farm or a pipeline or a transmission line, it's the applicant's job to say, okay, here's the letters that we sent out to, you know, affected parties and or agencies, things like that, and here's the responses we got back. I could see perhaps a need for the law to be tweaked just a little bit so that there might be, when a railroad comes to us to have a determination made, that there at least be an effort made to notify the landowner. I think that that might be fair enough. It would take a statutory change, but I think it's a point
we have
taken.
An appointment Wednesday morning, and that is going to
okay.
be one of
very
the
good.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kramer?
Help me on the trees issue a little bit. I'm just sort of exploring it. And I really,
sure. Yeah.
I'm really without bias. is there a safety value to having the trees there?
No.
None. Okay.
From and I'm going to say that.
No, that's
and then with the next
one. I don't know the answer. So.
Yeah, the trees. Is there a safety value there? No. At 25 miles an hour, the trains don't rumble much. You know, they do make some sound, of course, but it's not. Again, it's not like one of these long trains that we're used to seeing here on the main line. You know, they're a smaller train. They do make some noise, but not to the extent where you need sound barriers and things like that. So what does the trees, the safety value in having a tree that's going to block a view of a crossing? I can't see anything there that
certainly not an even trade-off in your mind.
No, because, see, the thing is, if you sit back and really think about this a minute, is that these train accidents, they do. Cars and trains get together. That's just a fact of life. But where the trains are getting together with cars, they're whistling. They've got their headlights on. They've got all of that. And now if we have trees out there even farther reducing this, you know, doesn't it seem like it'd be just a common sense thing to eliminate that? Yeah, because now you're adding another variable into these accidents that could be eliminated.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk, any questions?
No, I think my fellow commissioners covered it pretty well. I appreciate what you folks are doing out there. But it is very helpful to hear from you. And back to what Tony was talking about is that we are kind of evolving for this. But I think at the end of the day, nobody here wants people to get killed by trains.
Nobody
does. But we're trying to figure out what the best way is to do this. And we don't have a good measurement of those risk factors. And that's whatever the business might be, it's always a balance. So appreciate what you folks are up to.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions for Mr. Huff?
No questions.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Some people came in after we started. Was there anyone else from the public who wished to testify today, either in support or opposition of the application? Okay. That concludes the testimony then in this matter. And it's my understanding that the commission will want the applicant to submit proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law and a proposed order for consideration of the commission. Do the parties want to make oral closing remarks or submit written briefs?
I don't believe either is necessary.
I don't see any need to submit a written brief. I think it's been adequately covered here. The issue before the commission is whether, as a matter of public safety, a whistle should or should not be sounded at these two private crossings. There are a number of factors that do go into any kind of a crossing accident. Site restrictions is one of them. Changes in elevation between the road can affect site. It's not just the restricted sight view of the motor vehicle of the train, it's also the restricted sight view of the train crew looking for the car to see if they can see a car coming in sufficient time to be able to give a warning. On the other hand, under North Dakota law, the train crew has no duty to sound a warning at a crossing or to try to stop the train unless and until a reasonable person sitting in the locomotive where the engineer and the conductor are sitting would know or should know that the vehicle approaching the crossing is not going to yield the right-of-way. And usually by the time you reach that point where a reasonable engineer or a reasonable conductor can reach the conclusion that the vehicle is not going to stop in time to yield the right-of-way to the train, usually by then it's too late. The laws of physics take over, and you just can't stop the train that fast. So these are important safety issues and safety concerns, and we appreciate the commission taking the time to look at it to determine whether, you know, under the law, a whistle should be or should not be sounded at these two crossings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plambeck. Commissioner Kramer, do you have any closing comments?
You know, not well, I might just say this, that it's always interesting to get different perspectives, different people's perspectives. And like Tony said and Brian agreed, this is evolving in our brains as well. And obviously, I agree that I think there needs to be a tweak in the code that provides some notice to the people most affected, direct notice to people most affected so that they have that opportunity to weigh in. I have to say, though, I don't sense that there's any accusations being made by the railroad, nor any hostility, but rather just a real awareness of safety and a real desire that people be safe. And that's our first charge as a commission. And so, it's an interesting process, and I'm sure we're going to get better at it. But I do thank everybody for their participation. It's very important and valuable.
Thank you, Chairman Kramer. Commissioner Clark?
Again, thank you all for being here. Always do appreciate the input and look forward to making a decision on this over the next few weeks. So thanks.
Thank you. Commissioner Kalk, any closing comment?
Just kind of to add a little bit more what Kevin was talking about how this is evolving. I look forward to the work session on this just to find out what exactly our jurisdiction is. Because, fine, we can tell you to blow or not blow the whistle, but can we tell you to move trees? Can we do this? Where does the federal... I mean, I'll just throw it out there because there's multiple jurisdictions here that interlock or intertwined, and I see this as something that you know, how we do this early, you know, it will set the stage for down the road, and we need to do it right. But that right away comes the jurisdiction of what we can do as it relates to other decisions we might make is going to become front and center, I think, in this very quickly. So, but most of thank you all for taking time to come out here today because we can't make good decisions unless we have good information. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Kalk. That concludes this hearing. Is there anything else before we close the record to bring to the attention of the commission? Mr. Plambeck or Ms. Bendish?
Nothing from us.
Thank you. All right. Then if there's nothing else, I'm going to close this hearing, noting the time is 10:50 a.m. This hearing is closed. Thank you all.